Okay, which is first? Hey, you go first. No, you go first. Well, I want you to do it at the same time. Okay. Well, aren't you going to take your whiskey to the corner and dance around it? Reb Shmuel says, no, I don't dance around whiskey. Well, what about your magic wand? Magic wand? That's old stuff for baby witches. The new witches don't use magic wands. Hey, what about crystal balls? That crystal ball? I don't need that. I don't need any of that stuff. I just pour it out, give it to you, and that's it. Straight from the bottle. And Reb Shmuel pours out the whiskey, and he gives each witch a drink of whiskey. And the witches are looking at it, shaking it. Ah, isn't it nice and quiet here? Everybody is very, very, like, thinking about this story so much. I think you should keep quiet the whole day, as you are now. It's so wonderful. Hundreds of boys just sitting there completely quiet, listening and behaving. Okay, until tomorrow should be exactly like this, beautiful. And we will continue Mirtashem this story in such good behavior. Boy, yesterday we were so quiet because Reb Shmuel just drank down the whiskey that the witches gave him. Besides being kosher whiskey, of course, that he would drink, he has to make sure it's got a good hechsher. What else was in that whiskey that the witches thought one thing would happen, but something else happened? What was in that whiskey? Was anything in there? What did they do to that whiskey? What did they put in the whiskey? Why are you standing up? Sit down on your seat. What was in that whiskey over there?
Magic words.
Okay, those witches made their special, super, extra curse. And they thought, Reb Shmuel, chas v'shalom, we don't even want to say. Reb Shmuel sat down, he made a brocha shehakoyel with all of his kavana, and he had a big smile and he drank it, and that was it, finished. Now, it is the turn for Reb Shmuel to give whiskey to the witches. But they want to get out of there, they're now getting afraid. But the Yidden don't let them, they said, you have to keep your part of the deal. And now they bring the two witches of Polotsk in front of Reb Shmuel. And Reb Shmuel takes two glasses and he takes the same whiskey. Hey, we don't like that kind of whiskey. Reb Shmuel says, you don't like this kind of whiskey? We'll give you another kind of whiskey. And they bring another bottle of whiskey. And Reb Shmuel pours out one and pours out two, and he has two glasses of whiskey, and he gives the first one to the first witch, and he gives the second one to the second witch, and it doesn't matter which one anyway, as long as each witch gets a glass, and he now gives each one the glass of whiskey, and he says, drink the whiskey. And the witches are shaking. They're so scared. And the Yidden say, drink the whiskey like you told Reb Shmuel you do. And the witches had no choice. After all, their honor is at stake of being big witches. And each one drank the whiskey. Now, did Reb Shmuel use a magic wand on the whiskey? Did he use a crystal ball? Did he dance around and do all kinds of stuff and say all kinds of words? Or he just poured it straight from the bottle? Reb Shmuel didn't need all those kind of tricks. He just poured out the whiskey straight from the bottle. And the first witch drank down the whiskey, and he starts to scream and shake, and boom, falls on the floor, dead. And the other witch saw what happened, and nothing happened to him yet, and he starts to laugh. Yeah, he was a nothing anyway. What kind of a witch was him? I was a better witch than him anyway, and that proves it. He died, and I'm left to be the greatest witch. Hey, look at me. Nothing happened to me. Hey, hey. And all of a sudden, he starts to get sick. He starts to shake. But he made it through the door, and he went home to his witch house. And we don't even want to tell you what kind of a rest of the day and night the witch had in that house. And by the next morning, one of his friends, who knows who it was, went to his house, and he found the witch dead in the house. So the two witches of Polotsk plotzed, both of them. The Kenilok, the story is not over yet. Now, as I told you, this is a strange story. And that we're coming near to the end. We still have more to go. It's not one of these stories that's, you know, you learn a very clear lesson out. Maybe you do. Maybe we'll figure it out. It's kind of a strange story. But since it's so interesting and it involves witches and everybody gets so excited and you're quiet in the lunchroom, so we tell you this story. This is what happened. The summer went by. This must have happened after Pesach, maybe this time of the year. Because it says the summer went by, and it came time for Rosh Hashanah. And Reb Shmuel went to the Alter Rebbe in Liazna for Rosh Hashanah. And he davened with the Alter Rebbe Rosh Hashanah. And after Rosh Hashanah, he went home to Bishenkovich. And then Reb Shmuel decided he would like to go back to Liazna for Yom Kippur. And he started to go before Yom Kippur to go to Liazna. And it was Erev Yom Kippur, and he's traveling in the road. And all of a sudden, a group of black ravens. You know what ravens are? What are ravens? What is that, ravens?
A bird.
What kind of things are ravens?
A bird.
There are kinds of birds from the crow family. You ever saw a crow?
Yeah.
You ever saw a big black crow?
Yeah.
Who saw in the Prospect Park Zoo, there's a crow over there, a big black crow. It's a raven? Okay, it's a raven. Well, over there you got a raven right there waiting for you. If you go see and look at it, you know exactly what we're talking about. It's a big black bird, a raven. It's in the Prospect Park Zoo. Well, over there is one big black bird, but a whole group of big black ravens start to fly around Reb Shmuel. And all of a sudden, they flew down and they started to attack Reb Shmuel. One raven came and he started pecking him with his beak. And another raven started to push him with his wings. And another raven started to poke him. And another raven started to land on him with his claws. And these ravens are now not letting Reb Shmuel to go. Reb Shmuel is trying to go, and the ravens are pushing him back. Reb Shmuel is trying to go, and the ravens are pushing him back. He can't move anywhere. He tries to take a step, and there's a raven pushing him back. Now, Reb Shmuel understood that this is not a regular thing that happens when you're walking on the way, that a group of big black ravens attack you. He understood something strange is going on over here. Kenelach, it got to be Mincha time, Erev Yom Kippur. Of course, most people have eaten their big meal for Yom Kippur, and they daven mincha, already dressed up in their Shabbos clothes. And then they're getting ready for Kol Nidre. And they put on the kitlach, the kittel and the talis. People were already going to shul. Reb Shmuel is still in the field on the road with all these ravens all over him, pecking him and pushing him. And Reb Shmuel manages to daven mincha out in the fields, of course, next to a tree. He shouldn't be just out in the field like that. And it's coming now, time for Kol Nidre, the beginning of Yom Kippur. And in the shul of the Alter Rebbe and Liozne, the Alter Rebbe comes down for Kol Nidre. And as he's going to his place, he turns to his son, the Mittler Rebbe, who became the Mittler Rebbe, Reb Doiv Ber, and he says, Reb Shmuel is trying to get here, but he's not able to. Go out and bring him in. Of course, the Mittler Rebbe hears this from his father, the Alter Rebbe, and he's now going out of the shul, and he asks two chassidim to go with him, Reb Isaac Hamler and Reb Pinchas raises or writes a shik. This is what the story says. Reb Isaac and Reb Pinchas, and they go together with the Mittler Rebbe, who then was known as Reb Doiv Ber, and they're going out, the three of them, out now of the town into the fields. And the story says the Alter Rebbe himself went out of the shul into the street. Can you imagine, right before Yom Kippur? But he came back to his place. And finally, Reb Doiv Ber and Reb Pinchas and Reb Isaac find Reb Shmuel in the fields with all these birds all over him, pushing him. It seems somehow the birds flew away. And Reb Shmuel now sees the three of them standing there, and he says, "What are you doing here? Hey, why did you come out here?" Maybe he felt embarrassed. He said, "The Alter Rebbe sent us." The Mittler Rebbe said, "The Alter Rebbe said to come. He said we should bring you in." The story says that Reb Shmuel did not daven with the Alter Rebbe that Yom Kippur. Now, it doesn't say why. Maybe he was embarrassed. Maybe he felt something was wrong. And then the end of this story, we have to explain it probably tomorrow. Are we done? This is the finish? You know what? Let's finish it tomorrow, and we'll try to figure a few things out. After all, why should we rush? We are near the end of a strange story with big black birds attacking Reb Shmuel. Attacking Reb Shmuel Monkis. And of course we have to try to figure out maybe a little bit of what's going on over here and hear the end of the story. And of course today, that's why by lunch the yeshiva served special leben. Why do you think today in a story about the Alter Rebbe and a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, we have leben? You know why we have leben? Because the Alter Rebbe used to say, "Medarf leben mit der Zeit." You have to live with the time. And today we have the story of Reb Shmuel Monkis, so we have to figure out from this story something we could live with. "Medarf leben mit der Zeit." And they even gave you delicious chocolate leben. It must be a geschmacke leben. A good life. Torah and mitzvahs is a good life. Okay. Shh. Let's go on with the big black birds covering Reb Shmuel Monkis as he's trying to come to Liozna for Yom Kippur. And the Alter Rebbe sent his son, Reb Doiv Ber, who later became the Mittler Rebbe, and Reb Isaac Hamlier, and Reb Pinchas. And they're going out to Reb Shmuel Monkis in the field. And finally the birdies fly away somehow. It doesn't exactly say how. And Reb Shmuel says, "What are you doing here? Why do you come out in the field?" And Reb Pinchas said, "What do you think? We're coming out on our own? The Alter Rebbe sent us because he knew you were in trouble." Now, it seems, again, the story doesn't say too much at all. And I'm just trying to explain to myself and to us what might be going on. Otherwise, we're really left hanging. It seems that Reb Shmuel Munkus knew that something very strange was going on with all these big black birds, and that the Alter Rebbe would send three big Hasidim out to get him, that he's in trouble. It must be that Reb Shmuel Munkus must have been embarrassed now that he caused this kind of embarrassment to himself. And it must be that he figured out it has something to do with him starting up with those two witches of Polotsk. Because otherwise, why would these strange things happen? And it says that Reb Shmuel Munkus, even though he came to Liozna, did not go to daven in the shul of the Alter Rebbe. Why wouldn't he go daven in the shul of the Alter Rebbe? Must be that he was embarrassed, he felt bad. And Yom Kippur went by, but at the end of Yom Kippur, the Alter Rebbe called for Reb Shmuel Munkus to come to him. And now Reb Shmuel Munkus has to go to the Alter Rebbe. And he goes in the room of the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe says, Reb Shmuel, I'm very upset with you. Why did you start up with those two witches? Why did you start up with them? Now, the end of the story is that that year, the Alter Rebbe was arrested and put in jail for the second time. And that is the end of the story. And of course, we're all wondering, what does this story about Reb Shmuel Munkus with the two witches have to do with the Alter Rebbe being arrested and putting in jail for the second time? Now, our Rebbe, the Rebbe, heard this story and he asked a question to the Friedeker Rebbe. I don't know if he heard the story from the Friedeker Rebbe or not, but he asked about this story to the Friedeker Rebbe. And he asked the Friedeker Rebbe, is there a connection between the story of Reb Shmuel Munkus and the two witches and the Alter Rebbe being arrested and going to jail? And you know what the Friedeker Rebbe answered the Rebbe? He said, all he knows is that whenever the Rebbeim told this story, they would always connect the two stories together. The Rebbe Rashab told the story about Reb Shmuel Munkus, and at the end he said, and the Alter Rebbe that year was arrested for the second time. The Rebbe Maharash told that story about Reb Shmuel Munkus and the two witches, and at the end he said, and that year the Alter Rebbe was arrested for the second time. The Tzemach Tzedek, the father of the Rebbe Maharash, told that story, and he said, that year the Alter Rebbe was arrested for the second time. The Mittler Rebbe told that story, and he says, my father, the Alter Rebbe, was arrested for a second time that year. So there must be some kind of a connection. Well, the reason I told that story, because it's very interesting, exactly what we learn out, well, of course, don't start up with a witch. I don't know if you're going to go down Kingston Avenue, or you're going to be walking on your street and see a witch, and all of a sudden you have to have a special story not to start up with a witch, but let's talk about a different kind of a witch. Maybe this kind of a witch, it's not exactly a witch, but maybe it's the same kind of a thing. A witch comes, of course, everything is from Hashem, but certain things are completely soaked through and through with Yetzer Hara. As we understand, a witch is from top to bottom, front, back, through and through, from the top of his pointy black hat to the bottom of his toes, is completely Yetzer Hara, Klippa, Sitra Achra, the other side, and everything Shlecht, and Tuma, and Tomei. Are you supposed to start up or go near a witch? Absolutely not. In fact, you know what the Torah says to do with a witch when we have a Beis Din and we live according to the Torah and the Beis Din has the power to do it? What happens to a witch? You know what happens to a witch? Killed. That is right. Maybe there's something else we should tell you about, and they are called missionaries. Missionaries. Now, Kinalach, shh. I want you to listen. It's be quiet. Shh. Shh. Sei still. We Jews have Torah and mitzvahs. Non-Jews have seven mitzvahs called the Sheven Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. They don't have to be Jews. We Jews do not say that people that are not Jewish have to be Jews. There's no mitzvah in that. A non-Jew should be a good non-Jew, and a Jew should be a Jew. But there are such people, they say this: everybody has to be just like us. They have to believe in our Getschke, and even a Jew has to believe in our Getschke. And if not, we're going to go out and trick them to believing in our Getschke, because everybody has to be the same, just like us. Hashem says in the Torah, everybody is different, and the differences are to be respected. But then some people say, no, everybody has to be exactly the same like us. And if not, we're going to trick them to be the same. Nobody's allowed to be different. If you're different, we don't like you. Only if you're the same as us, we like you. The worst of these people are called missionaries. And they try to trick you to believe like them. And these people are soaked through and through with tuma, klipa, yetzahara, and the sitra achra. So, I'm not saying they're witches, but I'm saying it's the same thing. Stay away from them. There are only certain people that are trained to talk to them, and they know how to speak to them. But don't you ever go and speak to them. If they come and speak to you, don't say one word. Run away. If they try to get you to speak to them, and you know they're not a Yid and they're trying to trick you into something, you run away the other way as fast as you can go and don't say a word. All right, that's one thing we can learn out from this story. Okay, once a Yid came to a tzaddik. It happened to be during Sukkos. What does it mean, it happened to be? It wasn't an accident. The Ashgaga brought this. It happened at this time, and the Yid wasn't thinking particularly, well, it's Sukkos, so I'm going to a tzaddik. But it just came out that way, that for whatever reason, it was Sukkos, and he was going to the tzaddik. And he goes to the tzaddik, and he says, things are very bad for my family and myself. We just don't have enough money. The Yid came to the tzaddik and he says, things are very, very not good for myself and my family. We just don't have enough parnasa, not enough money. I'm trying and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Finally, I have a job. It's just not making me enough money and it's very difficult. So what I'd like to do is move away, far away, find a different job, go to a different place, and over there, hopefully things will be better, and I'll have a better mazel. I'll have more luck somewhere else. And remember the story we just had?
Yeah.
About a person in one place not having too much mazel, and going another place, remember that?
Yeah.
Well, listen to this story, because this is a very interesting story. We'll learn something else from this story. The tzaddik said, no, you should stay where you are. Don't go moving away. Stay where you are. Now, maybe the Yid had heard the story that we just told about sometimes if you move far away, there's a bracha over there. And now the tzaddik is telling him, stay where you are. Very interesting, right? Do you move away? Do you stay where you are? And the tzaddik says, I'm going to explain to you how we know this. He says, we learn it from Sukkos. During Sukkos, we say Hallel. In the Hallel, we take the Lulav and Esrog. And there's one part of the Hallel we say, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Whoever heard that part of Hallel? They say it out with a lot of kavana and yell and scream. And they say loud, Ana Hashem. It's a very heartsicket davening. What does it mean? Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Please Hashem, save me. Save me from the trouble. Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Save me. Then you say, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Give me Hatzlacha. Make me successful. Now, what is the difference? One thing is saying, save me. The other thing, make me successful. So the tzaddik says like this. When you say, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, what are you doing with a lulav and esrog? You are shaking it to every direction. This way and that way and front and back, up and down, right? You take the lulav and esrog, you shake it to the right and to the left and straight and up and down and back, all the six directions. That's when you say Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, right? What do you do when you say Ana Hashem Hatzlichana? You hold it still. So the tzaddik says you learn from the lulav and esrog. If you need a yeshua, if you need a saving, if you're in such a big trouble, you need to be saved from a trouble, then you can go to the ends of the earth, you can travel far away, even up and down, everywhere you can go to get saved from a trouble. But if you need hatzlacha, you need success, that's not being saved from a trouble. Success means you have something, it's just not going so good. Maybe you can improve it and you'll have hatzlacha, it'll be good. Right? There's something there that you have. So what do you do for Hatzlacha? You stay where you are. Do you have to run away for Hatzlacha?
No.
To be successful, do you have to run away?
No.
If you need to be saved, you have to go far away. You could go far away. If you just need Hatzlacha to be successful, you stay where you are. So a person has to know, do I need a Yeshua? Do I need to be saved from a big trouble? In such a case, sometimes a person has to go far away. But if you say, listen, things are not going so good, I need Hatzlacha. I need things to go good for me. But it's not to be saved from a big trouble.